Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. We are thankful to have you join us tonight. Tonight we're going to do something a little different, yes, different, even for us. Since it is just past Thanksgiving and before Christmas, we thought we would focus on things we are thankful for. Here are a few examples from a list posted on a site known as realsimple.com. That ought to have my picture on it, I think, realsimple.com. The list includes, at the number one position, dishwashers, two, fireplaces, local farmers market, sweater weather, I like that, coffee, friendships, number seven, Google, number eight, pints of ice cream, good books you have read, and number 10, the snooze button. You know, Pastor, when I see that list and the realsimple.com, that is exactly right up my alley, because I think when we talk about being thankful, what do? We start thinking about my stuff. And, we usually get around to thank you for my health and for my family and for the protection you give us. Thank you for putting us in the United States. But there are so many things to be thankful for, and I guess until we call our attention to it, until we focus on it, we're just used to getting what we want when we want it, right? Do you agree?
That is so true. I did want to challenge you on item number 8, because you said that was pints of ice cream. I trust that was Bluebell ice cream, to be specific.
Well, I thought you were going to correct me and say, no, I'm not thankful for pints. Gallons? Yes. Pints? No.
Gallons? Yes, yes. The factory? Yes, the factory, definitely, yes.
So, Brenham, Texas.
By the way, they are not our sponsor, but anytime they'd like to offer, well, they'd be welcome as long as they bring a few gallons with them.
Bluebell.
Bluebell, there you go. So that's interesting list. And I'm intrigued with modern society that I'm actually surprised to see dishwashers on the number one position, because I would have thought, in Houston, the probably number one position is held by restaurants.
Or air conditioning.
Air conditioning, yeah. Well, that's the sweater weather. Houston air conditioning out of control. Sweater weather.
Right, right. Interesting.
You know, what's interesting is I saw several children's lists in preparing for the program. And I was surprised at the number of children's lists that were thankful for family, were thankful for mothers, occasionally thankful for fathers. I mean, I thought it was nice to get a little billing. But it was amazing, almost the maturity level of some of the children's requests, especially when you see the adult requests are falling around fireplaces, Google, ice cream,
right,
the snooze button. I love that one as well.
So, right.
Very interesting, to say the least.
Well, then, Pastor, I would think that our listeners would be interested in ways that they can help continue to follow us. So just remember that one thing you can do is follow us. That's right. That's a familiar term. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio by clicking Follow Us on the BTR screen. And, of course, share the broadcast links with others. Pastor?
Well, I'd say I thank you for that. And that is a great opportunity, a good way for folks to stay in touch with us. And we certainly welcome their contact, their information, their questions, as well as comments. What a blessing just to be in touch with folks and to get that information, to see what's going on in their lives and questions they might have and how they're spending their holidays. And sometimes, people go to great lengths and travel and abounding like that. Other times, some of the best adventures are just, homebound and getting into the Word or spending time with family, that it seems like so often we're pulled in so many different directions. So that's refreshing. I appreciate your list, by the way. That helps us to get into the mindset of things for which we are thankful. What's sort of unique, in fact, come think of it, you know, I had mentioned to you, I was looking through some of the children's lists, and I thought this one was sort of typical that I sort of liked. This was a children's list of things to be thankful for. Number one on the list was a bed. So I guess they get tired of standing after some point. But so they're thankful to have a bed, food, candy, lemonade, family, me. In other words, they were thankful for themselves. It was a very healthy attitude.
Yeah.
And I thought what was interesting, number 10 on the list was extra candy. So
right.
That was nice that they, you know, by the way, I guess that was a list of 7, not 10. But anyway, so bed, food, candy, lemonade, family, themselves, and more candy. So
right.
They, while they're still in, they've got a sweet tooth. Eventually, the candy may take care of that issue. But I did feel good that they, you know, cared about their family and themselves. It's a working on a good, healthy self-image, and that is often very important, but often neglected. So there's a lot of fun and lighthearted things that we can, of course, be thankful for. You know, I think sometimes people, when we say, well, things I'm thankful for, they either get very grandiose, like, I'm thankful for world peace, which means they apparently don't watch the news very often,
right.
Or they run the other extreme, you know, well, I'm thankful I just got home today, you know, so their expectation was a lot lower, you know, they just got through the traffic. But, you know, tonight I think we're going to try to do something a little different, as you alluded to earlier. We're going to spend some time tonight and think about what would be on God's list of things to be thankful for?
Oh.
You know, we have wish lists, we have Christmas lists. If you're at the IRS, you've got a little list that you're probably working on of all those little people you'll be in touch with in the next few months.
Oh, boy.
But this, isn't that fun to think about? Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
I guess what made me think of it is my notes were written in red, so I'm just, oh, okay, yeah, that's made me think of them for some reason.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we're going to spend a little time and think about what's on God's list of things that he might be thankful for. And, you know, I said, well, I never knew he kept a list like that. Well, it's interesting if you read the Word of God and you find these passages that it gives you insight into what's important with God. And I'll jump ahead with one comment, and that is, it's nice to know that I think that we are important to him because I think we are on his heart. You know, there was a gospel song that came out a few years ago, never really got the fame that it deserved because of a powerful message. And there's a little line in it that says, when he was on the cross, referring to Jesus Christ, I was on his mind.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
think that's pretty special to realize that the Son of God, we were on his heart and mind when he was taking care of that for us. And I think that's powerful. But yeah, I think it could be an interesting evening as we look at that list and think about what could be on that list. And I don't know that we could put everything on that list, but I know love has to be high on the list. But let's get started, as I always say, the best of ways. So, Jim, would you be kind enough to get us started in prayer tonight?
Of course. Heavenly Father, we offer a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude for your grace and wisdom. We pray for those who serve our nation and their families. As we continue in the spirit of thanksgiving, may we remember the price our men and women in arms have paid to keep us free and to never forget that your hedge of protection is ever present around us. We look around and see nations struggling and literally dying to come to America, the land of the free. Further, Father, we remember that your Son Jesus bought with his precious blood our eternal freedom. That's a freedom we can't lose. It's eternal. May there be no mistake. We give you the glory and honor as you superintend this broadcast. Give, I pray, Dr. Lyons the exact words you'd have him to deliver, and may those words actually resonate with a lost soul tonight. May that soul feel that knocking at the door, and may he step forward and put up his flag for Jesus Christ. And it's in the name that's above all names that we make this prayer, the name of our Messiah, our Lord, our Christ, our Savior, and your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that, Jim. I really do appreciate it. And I, again, want to just take a moment and thank our listeners for joining us, whether it's tonight or tomorrow evening or by the archive. It's just wonderful to know that we can come together and study God's Word as one. That means so much. And, you know, one other thing just to remind you all of, that if you have a question you'd like to leave with us, you can call us at 1-866-275-4472 and select option 1. If you are watching the program on Blog Talk Radio, and that may seem a little weird to say, are you watching us on radio? But there is a screen on the computer if you're watching online, and you'll see a phone number up there, which, of course, is 646-716-7765. That is only active and available during the live broadcast. So if you're not feeling very alive, you probably want to use the other number, which gives you access to our voicemail, which, again, is 1-866. I'm glad you caught that, Jim. 1-866-275-4472, and that's option 1. That will send us an actual copy of your message, and the nice thing about that, it provides us a way to be able to play your question on air, and so you can be a part of the program even if you're listening during the archive time. So just want to make sure you're aware of those options that were out there available. Jim, as I recall, there's also an email address they can send us a question or comment to. Is that not true?
That is so true. It's ask@askthepastornow.com. And, Pastor, it's actually on that Blog Talk studio. So when you just kind of scroll down and you'll see askthepastornow.com, you can send a question. If you would like to be anonymous, just say, my name is John, and here's my question, and we can use it on the program, and Dr. Lyons will answer that question. And, Pastor, what about Wright Lyons newsletter? Can they? I see there's a spot on there they can click on and get your newsletter. That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
That would be. But I am curious by something you said. They said if they want to remain anonymous, they can go ahead and click there and use the name John. What do people who are named John use? Do they put down anonymous? Is that the way that works?
No, Mr. Doe. Mr. Doe, D-O-E.
Mr. Doe, yeah. Yes, and Jane and John, they have more challenges, but we only have another 47 minutes, so we might want to move on from there.
That's why I am the co-host and not the host.
Okay. Well, you know, on some radio stations I hear there are openings taking place even as we speak. So let's hope we're a little more stable here. But no, let's get on with our subject, which, as I vaguely recall, was thoughts about which God might be thankful for. Actually, I'd sort of like you to start with the first one. I don't know if that's thrown too much at you, but really what I thought we would do is we would look at Scripture or passages of Scripture and see what is there that we might get a clue about what God is thankful for. So why don't you start us out with Romans 12, verse 2.
Great. You know, Romans, it's one of the greatest books of the Bible. It just has so much to say, and it's always so encouraging. And here's what Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Pastor, to me, that is just giving us exactly what we need to focus on. How do we transform our minds? That's an interesting thought, and what goes through my head, and I think you must really laugh a little bit when you hear simplemind.com. But
I thought you would be proud of me that I'm restraining myself at the moment when you say things like that. But go ahead.
I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice. But transforming our. I think the first thing you have to want to know is, why do I want to transform my mind? Why don't I want to be conformed to this world? Because everybody wants to be liked, and to be liked, you have to get along, you have to go along. And here it's telling us, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you know what comes to mind, Pastor? It's It's pulling out all of that garbage out of our mind and replacing it with, instead of man's thoughts and man's goals and priorities, it's putting God's in. It's garbage in, garbage out. You've heard that expression. That's the way I think of this, that
right.
We're pulling out man's garbage and what doesn't last and what is fleeting and putting in an absolute. It's putting in what God would want us to put our minds to. And it says that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I love those adjectives to describe God's will. And so I think, Pastor, this is a pregnant verse, I think you would call it. It is so rich with important nuggets for us to remember, right?
Absolutely true. And getting back to our main theme for the night, if we realize that, you know, because sometimes people get this idea of God like he's some big bully or he's somebody out there just throwing judgment around at us.
Mm-hmm.
And here we find in this powerful little scripture, what is the good and perfect acceptable will of God? It's that his people who know him, who love him, have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that we would go through this transformation process to become more like Christ each and every day, to have our mind purged of the things of this world and have a real desire in our heart just to know him better. That doesn't sound like a bully to me. That sounds like somebody who genuinely loves us, who wants to get to know us. And it's amazing. He knows us in all our imperfections, and he's wanting us to draw closer to him.
Mm.
So that's what, to me, is so powerful. If there's something God would be thankful for, it sounds like he would be thankful for us as we go through that commitment and process to get to know him better, too. He wants to meet us. And he wants us to draw closer. I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, can you just imagine a person that you have high, high respect for, and you're just trying to figure out, how could I get a few minutes of their time? And then you find out they were doing everything in their power to have some time and spend time with you. They were clearing their calendar. You know, that would be humbling. But imagine what it is to know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, is ready to clear the calendar to spend time with us for the simple reason that he so loves us. That, to me, is the power of Romans 12:2. That, to me, is something to think that we might be on his thankful list just because we want to take those steps to get our act cleaned up and our minds and hearts right with him. There's a similar one that I find. Most of the time, I find scripture pretty straightforward. And then I found one here, actually these two little verses that my first glance confused me a little bit. So the nice thing is to find a verse like that or a couple of verses and just start digging in and seeing the power of them. And I'm referring to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And the scripture says simply this. This is what God's telling us. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and unto the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now, I'll be honest, when I first read that, it did not leap off the page to me.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it confused me just a tad. How about you, Jim? What was your first reaction as you read or heard those verses?
Exactly what you're saying, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was hoping, when I think of savor,
mm-hmm.
I think of fragrance, and I think, you know, in the old temple days when they would slaughter animals and there would be incense and the smell of the sacrifice, and they used that word savior, and I just
mm-hmm.
think a sweet fragrance of Christ. And then
yes.
What confused me is, in them that are saved, yeah, I get that. That's us guys, you know. And then in them that perish, dun, 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 dun. Then your countenance goes down a little bit. And then to the ones we are the savor of death, those are the perishing ones. And the other, the savor of life, those are the saved ones. And so the way he worded, you know, I love to see in particularly the King James Version, Pastor, you and I have talked about this,
mm-hmm.
the poetic approach to Scripture, and how when you read a Scripture and you push back a minute and you think, why did he say it that way? Because there's no mistakes. It is, mm-hmm. and correct me if I'm wrong, it is designed, that Scripture is designed perfectly to address things I didn't even know needed addressing. And so when you read that verse and then you go back and read it again and you ask God to give you the wisdom and understanding that only he can give us, I can't wait to hear a further understanding of this Scripture, because I think it's complex.
It is, but it's so God, is the best way I can describe it. It is just so God. Mm-hmm. And keep that in mind anytime you find a passage that at first seems a little questioning for you. Just start to think about, all right, who is God? In fact, what did we say a little while ago about him? Is his passion to love us and to spend time with us and to value that time. And then we hit this verse. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, a fragrance. We are the fragrance of redemption, because Christ is our Redeemer. And them that are saved, and in them that perish. So for the saved, other Christians, they bond with that. They make that connection. That's why, you know, you can be flying halfway across the country or around the world, and you're waiting for your next flight at an airport, and somebody, total stranger to you, you suddenly make this kinship with. You know, maybe it's, you notice what they're reading and they're studying a passage, or maybe they make some statement and you realize those are the words of a Christian. And you realize suddenly, I'm not alone here. I've got family in this town that I didn't even know about. Mm-hmm. And so this instant bond. And then to those that perish, sometimes walls come up immediately because somebody has, you know, they're not ready to make a decision. They're fighting God. And so because you're a Christian, you're representing Christ and God. And so as a result, they start off with animosity towards you. But in just a normal, pure environment, what often happens is that the lost person finds a certain degree of comfort in the testimony and the walk of a Christian, because here's somebody I can actually trust. They don't have an ulterior motive except for my good, you know. And so here's somebody, you know, you can start feeling a little safer around that individual, because so often we meet people in this life that we don't trust. We don't know what they're up to. And it's sort of a sense of relief to find out, oh, this is the real deal. I'm okay here. So we start off with this fragrance that both to the saved and to the lost should be representative of a believer. And to the one, we are the savor of death unto death. In other words, this physical body is going to die. And even in death, there is this testimony. You know, just this past week, a very dear friend passed away. And so we've been struggling with communicating about when would be the graveside, when would be the celebration service, things like this. But, you know, the irony is I am having a difficult time thinking of that person as deceased, because they were so vibrant and full of life, and I know even now that absent from the body, they're present with the Lord. So, yes, they may take that person's body and put it in a box and put it in the ground, but that person is so vibrant and full of life, their testimony lives on, and I know there will be a day when I will see them again. So it's very peaceful in that sense. So death unto the death, the body may have died. So even among those that will perish, the lost people, his testimony lives on. And to the other, the savior of life unto life. So to me as a believer in Jesus Christ, I will see him again. So I have not lost a friend. I don't think of him as dead. I think of him as he's gone up ahead to take care of some business, you know. And when I come up for the marriage supper of the Lamb, I'll get to see him again. We used to enjoy meeting for lunch occasionally. I'll get to have lunch with him again. We'll probably have supper. So called the supper of the Lamb. So we'll look forward to that. So that's what the Scripture is talking about. He's saying to that audience that you know, both saved and lost, there should be a sweet fragrance about your walk, about your testimony as a believer.
Oh.
And whether you go through death, well, your memory will still be sweet, both to the lost as somebody they could trust, and to the saved as someone we will see again. And your soul, That's the part of unto life. That's interesting, too. As you look at the Greek words, the death unto death is referring to the physical body that has died, and life unto life is referring to the soul of the individual. So there's a sweetness to the very soul of the individual. So really what you're seeing in these two precious verses is that when a Christian dies, their life is felt and important to both God and to people, both lost and saved. So that's why I say, two little verses. What is God thankful for? He's thankful that once you have become born again, that he will get to bring you home, bring you forward. You know, it wasn't death that God brought to us. He tried to bring us life. And Christ brings us life and life more abundantly. That's his purpose in coming, redemption. But it was Lucifer, Satan, that went into the garden to try to deceive, to bring death. Because sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So these bodies will die. But our soul will go to be with him. And there will be a resurrected body. So death, saying goodbye to somebody you love for a time, is difficult. But it is not final. And if that's what you think, that a Christian who dies, that's it. Boy, you don't understand. If you lose I don't even like that phrase. We don't lose loved ones. We know precisely where they are. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So folks, work on getting that out of your vocabulary. Because, believe me, when the Christian, their body dies, the presence of the very... they are in the presence of God in that moment. We've got no doubt about where they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't lose loved ones because God's the one keeping track of them. So how do you lose somebody that God knows precisely where they're at? That would be hard, wouldn't it?
You know, Pastor, you're bringing up a somewhat comical and yet a very emotional thing that happened to me after my mother died. Mom died before Dad. It was not expected. And mother was, a diabetic. And for the most part, she kept it under control. But she, like so many others, loved that yellow cake with dark chocolate icing. And so it was always a struggle, because the body was so weak and yet the chocolate was so delicious. But I remember shortly after Mom died, I used to call Mom from time to time when I would see a commercial saying that this new drug, you only have to do it once a month. And I kept seeing diabetes getting closer and closer to either a treatment or a cure. And I just prayed about it and always wanted that for my mom. And so after she died several months, I'm watching TV, and sure enough, this was really encouraging, so I reached to get the phone to call Mom. And now that's a long-distance call, Pastor, if you didn't know that, from here in Houston to heaven. But
not in Texas.
Right. So what you're talking about
here... It's a local
call
here, in Texas, remember that.
Right, it's a local call for us. But what you're talking about is they never really leave you. I know your mom...
Right.
Right. Before she died, I had the pleasure of meeting her, and I just know at times something will remind you and you'll think about her. And don't you have a palpable sense of her presence even though she's in heaven?
Absolutely. I mean, a person who is alive for eternity, it's hard to think of them as dead. So
yeah.
I don't really buy that. Is the body tired and worn out? Yes. But is the person full of life and energy? Absolutely. Which is perfect considering we are given eternal life in Christ. So that's awesome to think about. Does it mean I don't miss her at times? Yes. But about the time I start missing her, I start remembering I will see her again. She was born again, no question in my mind whatsoever. So, if anything, let that be an encouragement to you when you have moments like that. People that you realize you haven't fully share the gospel with, hunt them down, grab the phone, do something, get the word to them, share the gospel. Again, I songs talk to me in a lot of different ways, but I remember a song I heard years ago that rarely you hear it sung, but what a powerful, simple little message. And that, remember the chorus line says that God is filling up heaven with sinners. Now, I know where it changed, and I know all of that, but it's not like we have to get all dressed up and get special before God to pick us. No, the plan is out there right now, right as we are, that we can come to Christ, and He'll do the changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing that we have to do is acknowledge our sin and call out to Him, make Him Lord of our lives. It's exciting to be loved that much. So if anybody out there is believing the enemy's lie that you're not loved, stop it, because somebody has already died for you. Somebody has already so loved you. Trust me, you can trust Him. That's the reality of it. No question in my mind about that. Jim, I've got a couple other verses here I want to take a look at, and I notice the one that comes up next is long, as a long-winded person. So that might be my passage. I don't know. Do you want me to grab that one and you take the next, or you want to take this one?
I think that's very kind of you. Please do.
All righty. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 5 is the next passage I'd like us to look at regarding the topic, thoughts about what God can be thankful for. And I think this one really is strong on that. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. So here is Paul writing to the believers at the Thessalonians. That was a city, so there was been at least one church, if not multiple churches, but groups of believers he's sending this letter out to. So he's saying to these ones here at that church in Thessalonica, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. In other words, we're really trying to make this in a word of instruction to you, that you have, as you've received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. So in other words, he's saying, when I was with you, I taught you how to have a Christian walk that would honor God and please God. Well, what would God be thankful for? He'd be thankful for believers who choose to be Christians, not just saved and going to heaven, but who really, even now, want to start living a life that would honor God, to try to get sin out of our lives and look for opportunities to be a blessing, to serve God, to touch lives. Verse 2 says, excuse me, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. So Paul, in that little line, is saying, I didn't make this stuff up. What I shared with you came from Jesus Christ. It was His words. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. In other words, your life changing. You're getting closer to God. This is the will of God, that you would be closer to Him. He said, and that you'd abstain from fornication. Those things that we're just using ourselves, not to the glory of God, but just for self-satisfaction in the most wicked sense. For that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So what he's saying in those couple of lines, and by the way, this is actually part of a bigger line, sentence, if you will. What he's saying is, look, because you have learned what Jesus has taught you, because He's tried to teach you, he being Paul, what God would have you to know. What he's saying is, look, possess this. Become sanctified, to become more like Christ each and every day of our lives. So because of that change in your life, then your whole body should be a vessel that will honor God. That doesn't mean you have to be the prettiest face on the block, but I guarantee you, you're the prettiest face to God, because you're His child. You've been born again. Your insides have changed, and the outside's in the process. You know, that's what we're talking about here. Don't be in the lust. By the way, that word concupiscence, or however I'm supposed to pronounce it, I admit I have trouble with that one. But literally, it's to be sexually playful. It's to be just obsessed in the body in this world. And so that's the lust that's taking place. And what he's saying, no, that is not who we are. Our desire is to honor God. Our desire is to present ourselves as a vessel of honor to God. And if we do that, if we look for those chances to live a life that glorifies God, to be His witness, to walk with a sense of character as a believer in Christ, that's something God would be thankful for. That's why He has that little phrase up there I exhort you by the Lord Jesus that you walk in a way that will please God. It would cause him to be thankful. I think that is a pretty powerful thing to think about. Jim, your thoughts on that, and then why don't you take us up to that next passage?
Just a couple of things, Pastor. One, the word sanctification, I believe you've taught us, means to set us apart for God's purpose, for what he created us for. And I think yes. of the lust of concupiscence. I strive to see why there should be a little substitute word for that. But I can see that because you remember we talked with a gentleman who said it so best. He said, I said, you know, how did you come about being a Christian, and how do you know you're a Christian? You remember what he said? He said, because I don't do what I used to do. And I thought of him while you were reading this, and I just think that there are things that men do particularly, and I remember earlier, like gentlemen's clubs. They're not gentlemen's club, and we would be embarrassed if we were to be seen in one of those places or coming out of one of those places. And you made me mm-hmm. think, yeah, that's embarrassing, but it should be even more embarrassing to know that God saw us. And so
right.
I think many times when I have to make a decision, yeah, I'd like to do that, see that, talk about that, you know, I have to decide, oh, wait a minute, God's with me. He's in my presence. And isn't that a wonderful admonishment just to know that he's there? Doesn't it keep us on the right path so many times, Pastor?
Oh, yes. Think about the very Spirit of God indwells us and is a teacher for us, as well as keeping us, so we can't lose our salvation. But in his role as teacher, that's something to think about. You know, don't you take that extra step of trying to get it right when you know that every step you take, the very Spirit of God is indwelling you and coming along with you.
Mm-hmm.
There are places that we don't go. Hopefully we've grown enough that we're not, wouldn't be happy in that place, but
right.
also to realize that, do I take God with me to a place? No. Doesn't he want to carry the gospel there? Yes. But he has his witness and he will reach them. But if it's a place that I cannot go without taking the body down, then I don't belong there. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing the opportunities that God can present for us to walk in him and honor him at the same time. That we can separate ourselves and not be doing harm to the message of the gospel. So I
mm-hmm.
think that's significant and very important.
Okay.
Now, Jim, why don't you take a look at Hebrews 11:6 and tell us, what about Hebrews 11:6 tells us something that God would be thankful for?
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I think what God would be thankful for in this verse is showing, proving your faith. If you have no faith, you can't please him. So he would be thankful, I believe, Pastor, for those of us who have stepped out in faith, or those that perhaps are hearing this tonight live or from the archives. They can't please God. That's what it's saying, without faith. So how do I get this faith? It's stepping out without having a net. And God must, and he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You've got to believe there is a God. And I think, Pastor, that is probably the easiest part of this passage for me. I always just think about, how did he make an eye? How did that happen? Is that a primordial ooze? It was just a pond and it slowly evolved to an eyeball that can see light and color. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So now there's benefit that I haven't even imagined. That he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if I seek him, there's going to be reward. He doesn't necessarily give us what that reward is, but we want that present wrapped normally on Christmas morning when we open it. So I look at this and I think a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm thinking, oh boy, what present am I going to get? And so perhaps that'll be given to us when we're in heaven. We'll understand that. And Pastor, speaking of heaven and what we've talked about previously, would you take just a moment and explain, because we know many people that are ill, that are sick, that are hurting, and you've explained this before, that this body was not created forever. It was created for this short length of time on earth, and that we will put on a supernatural body built for eternity. Could you address that quickly? I know we don't have a lot of time.
Well, actually, I would tend to differ from that statement. You see, I think we were created forever. But what happened is sin came in. See, that's why I alluded to earlier, this Garden of Eden. We were intended to be able to walk with God in the cool of the day. We were created with a very specific purpose, and that purpose was to fellowship with him. I think that's why people who fight God, who say, I don't need God, I don't want God, I think one of their frustrations is they're going against how they were created. And the fact is they were created to worship God, to walk with him, to fellowship with him, have this incredible relationship, this incredible joy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so to not do that, to reject the offer of Jesus Christ, you're fighting every good thing in your life in that one simple act. Now, when sin came, sin when it's finished bringeth forth death. So at the moment sin came into this world, which was simply by an act of disobedience, which is in itself sin, that's because death then came into play. So at that moment forward, this body was starting to decay. It was starting to ache. You know, it's interesting as you look at time, over time, you see the life shortening itself. There's a lot of more things coming into play there, but remember, Adam and Eve were intended to live not just a lifetime, but live an eternity with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that sin's in this world, this body we're born, and from the moment of our birth, because that's old flesh and nature's here, the body is decaying. That's the simple reality. We begin out, you know, as a teenager, you think you're superhuman, you can do anything. As
right.
The years go by, you start to think, I can do almost anything as long as it only involves just getting up out of the chair. You know, that's reality. But what God has offered us is this incredible redemption. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, if I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. You see, what we're doing is we are accepting knowledge that he is. I believe that he is the Son of God. He is Messiah. Now, the scripture also tells us that even the demons, the devils, they believe in God and they tremble. Because they believe they know who he is and they're fearful. So if I've heard people say, I said, well, if you only believe, then you're going to heaven. No, the devils believe, they're not going. So what more does it take than belief? It takes making him Lord of your life, asking him to save you. You see, it's one thing to believe he is God. It's another thing to say, and I will accept you as my Lord. I want you as my Lord. You see, there's the transition. It's like, you know, I always compare it to, and I know this is so small when compared to God, but walk into a room, you know, and you're in darkness. There's a light switch on the wall. And the power is running through the cords and the wall, but they're never going to make it to the light bulb until you flip the switch. And believing that there's electricity, believing the cabling is there, believing there's a light bulb is all good. But until you flip the switch, you're going to be in darkness. And you may believe that there is a God. You may even believe there is a Savior, Jesus Christ. You may believe that the Spirit of God comes to indwell and keep you once you're saved. But until you flip the switch, until you accept him as your Lord and Savior, it's just not going to happen. So Jim, why don't you take a moment and share with people how to know life and to know it more abundantly. Walk them through what you do to just flip that switch.
Thank you, Pastor. And we refer again to Romans. It's chapter 10, and the pastor even covered part of that just moments ago. Chapter 10, verse 9. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So tonight, if you are feeling the Holy Spirit tugging, and your life is not going the way it should, perhaps you're going through a divorce, perhaps you have lost your job, many of us have, you've got a relationship that's falling apart, you can't see the bottom, it's so dark, and yet this is maybe the catalyst that you needed to say, the way I've gone is wrong, what I've been doing is wrong, I want to know how I can have eternal life and be saved. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. And this is, it seems so simple. This is all I've got to do. I don't have to do any rituals. I don't have to burn this and do that. No. Like the pastor said, you're going to flip that switch by saying, yes, I believe there's a Christ, and yes, I believe there's a God, but I don't want to make him Lord of my life. That means I can't do what I'm doing. Right. If you're not ready to turn from what you're doing, you don't need a Savior. But if you need a Savior, this is exactly how to be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And Pastor, you talked about it earlier. Can they lose that salvation now that I've stepped out? And we'd love for you to send us an email to ask at askthepastornow.com and say, hey guys, I got saved tonight. I did what you said. I have Christ in my heart. I have His Holy Spirit. Can I ever lose that, Pastor?
Absolutely not. It's so important to realize you're not the one who did the saving, so you're not the one who's doing the keeping. You may have called out to Him to save you, but He's the one who saved you. And the very Spirit of God, like we mentioned earlier, indwells you in that moment and will keep you. You will not be lost again because He's the one who's done the restoring. He is sealing, keeping you, and your sins are as far from the east as the west. You just can't lose what you're not the one who did, and God does not fail. That's why I always remind people, remember, you hear sometimes people say, oh, God can do anything. No, He can't. He cannot fail. He can't lose you once you've come and accepted Him as Lord and Savior of your life. You can be secure and confident and have that joy, that peace that passes all understanding because He has saved you in that one precious moment. And that will last you throughout all eternity. So, am I still going to die? Well, the body will grow tired. Yes. But will I be with Him forever? Yes. Will I see my loved ones again? If they're coming to heaven, you better believe it. So, does that mean I should die right now and go there? No, because God's got a work for each of us to do right here, right now, and in the remaining days that you have, and only God knows how many of those days are. We have a responsibility to be servants of God, to help spread the gospel, to comfort one another. That's why we are here. Each one of us has a calling in our lives. You know, some people think, well, it's this grand vision I've got. I'm going to be the world's greatest evangelist or the world's greatest piano player or the world. You're the greatest if you're God's child doing what He wants you to do. If that is simply praying with a person, think about that. Why did we even put that word in there describing the work of a believer? Simple, simply. Hey, listen, you're simply praying. So all you're doing is simply taking somebody's need into the throne room of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all the universe, and saying, here's a need, Father. Will you help me with this? Does that seem like a little thing? Not if you have the need. Not if you recognize who God is. The boldness for us to walk into the very throne room of God, that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. Don't minimize it. Whatever God calls you to do, it's a big thing. Because He has no small people in His kingdom. He has no small assignments. They're all important because they are tied to eternal souls. Understand that. And very likely you are in contact with somebody that the boldest preacher you know of will not get a chance to witness to, but you will. Don't let the opportunity be wasted. It's so important. We're talking about things that God can be thankful for. I think He'll be thankful if you choose to honor Him, to serve Him, to reach those people that you come in contact with, that the Billy Grahams of this world, the Billy Sundays of this world, never get a chance to get in touch with. But you do. Psalm 147, 10 through 11, gives us another topic of what I think God could be thankful for. Verse 10 and 11. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Now, he's not saying there that God's trying to irritate Texans by not taking any confidence in the strength of his horse. He's not trying to offend Joe Namath because he doesn't think he has pretty legs, okay?
Yeah.
What he's saying is God's priorities are different. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. That doesn't mean that he's the bully and we're living in terror of him. It means that I have a healthy respect for who God is, just how awesome God is. And those of us who feel that way, that we have hope in the promises of God, his grace, his mercy. A moment ago, Jim shared with you, our listeners, maybe you didn't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And he just shared with you his grace, his mercy. You can be born again. You can come to know him as Savior and Lord. It's out there. It's not free. It's just that Jesus already paid the price for you. That's, see, we go on around saying, salvation's free. No, salvation is expensive. It cost Christ everything. And he paid it willingly for you and for me. If we take pleasure in that, then God's going to take pleasure in us. We who make the decision to have a healthy respect for him and have a confidence, a joy, a hope in the grace of God. That's something that God is thankful for. That's what verse 11 says. Verse 10 says, I don't take it in human strength and in animal strength. I take my joy, my pleasure, I am thankful for the person who chooses to put God first, who loves him, who accepts the grace of God. That's what he's saying in that powerful and simple verse. And we've got another great passage here. It's a long one. Jim, you want to take it on?
I'll try it, Pastor. Here goes. Philippians.
Very good.
Chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Long sentence, Pastor.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. I think, Pastor, just a quick summary of that, he's saying, he's recognizing that they've obeyed not just when he was there. You know, I always work harder when the boss is looking, that kind of attitude, but when he was not there. Now, what I have, again, the complexity to me is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So I can understand God is working in me. He doesn't want me murmuring and complaining, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. What a great heritage I have. Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, he calls it like he sees it, and among whom ye shine as lights. I love what he's given us there. He is saying we're sons of God, and we shine as lights in a perverse nation, and holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That day of Christ, Pastor, that is that wonderful time when we will all be reunited, correct?
Absolutely. So true. And we'll bounce back to that little phrase about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's one that I think people have had heartburn over quite often.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really quite powerful when you look at it. The little passage, you know, coming from the Greek, literally means to render one fit for one thing. So think of work out, not in the sense of I have to work up my salvation, but rather than like a physical workout. Remember, he's even talking at the end that I haven't run in vain, I haven't labored in vain. Well, Jim, you're a runner. You go for the distance when you run. So am I correct that you wait until the morning of the run to say, well, I wonder if I should get in shape. Maybe I should run around the dining room table while I eat donuts. That's not working out. No.
You feel like it, but
you
no.
prepare, don't you?
Yes, you have to
but
prepare.
But you do prepare, you know. And that's why he's saying, let's render one person fit for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is, you've got your salvation. Now it's time to work your salvation with fear and trembling. All right, now I'm a saved person, so what am I supposed to be doing now that I'm saved? I'm supposed to live it. I'm supposed to do those things that bring on his good pleasure. And I'm not going to mullygrub about it. Because, you know, some people say, well, you know, I wish I could be the greatest musician when they have an incredible gift for prayer intercession. Or somebody else wants to be that powerful prayer person when there's a calling for them to be in the choir or maybe a speaker. You know, it seems like we, whatever gift we get, we often want the other gift.
Mm-hmm.
And what God is saying here is that take those gifts, those things that I give you, to use to my good pleasure and become fit at doing it. In other words, God gives us talents and gifts, but that does not preclude practice. I remember some years ago I heard this incredible singer, and when he came to be interviewed, he said, after he had sung this powerful song, the interviewer said, oh, you have such a gift. And the man just sort of grinned with almost disgust. He said, you do understand that a gift is what you have after years of practice. And that's true. Work out your own salvation. You've got salvation. You've got the Christian walk. Now start exercising it. Become all that God has called you to be. That part doesn't have a thing to do with your salvation other than you start off accepting Christ as Savior. You become born again. Now that you're born again, find out this life that God wants to have for you in Christ, in the Beloved. There are so many things for us to do. There's so many talents and gifts he has for us as we develop them by his grace, by his wisdom. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't have to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. I think if we're willing to look at the talents and gifts he puts into our lives and then work hard to develop them, then I think God can be very thankful for that in our lives. And I think that is powerful. We've taken some other materials, try to put them together for you to be blessed by, to draw closer by, to continue your studies. I encourage you to go to our YouTube channel there at Right Lions. You can search for it at youtube.com. But also I'd ask you to continue to pray for us as we pray for you, and that you join us again next week on our Ask the Pastor Now program here on Blog Talk Radio, because it just means something for God's people to come together to pray, study, and to look for the answers that we have, not in ourselves and our own strength, but in God's Word. Thank you for being here tonight, folks. Thank you, Jim, for being a part of this.
Thank you, Pastor, for teaching us. God bless.
God bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.